You know how it usually goes. Get ready, get set, and everybody thinks there's a race and we gotta go. But it's the season of Advent and it's Happy New Year, and instead God says, just wait a minute. Get ready, get set, wait. But ours is not a passive waiting, ours is an active waiting, blessed to be a blessing. That's how we wait for the coming of Jesus. William Willimon is a Methodist pastor. He remembers an incident that took place years ago in his first congregation. There was a member of his congregation who had a loved one who had passed away. And out of respect, Pastor Willimon decided to go to the funeral with his wife, Patsy. It was at a Baptist church within the community. He went to the funeral. The pastor got up to preach. He got really loud. He started shouting. He was flailing his arms around. It's too late for Joe, you know. Joe is dead, you know. There's no hope for Joe anymore, but there's still hope for you, you know. You've got today. You know people are dying every day. You know that, don't you? But you've got the chance. You can accept Jesus. You can receive him as your Lord. Will Willimon says he's never forgotten that sermon. As he was leaving the church after the funeral that day, he was venting and fuming to his wife, Patsy. He said, that's the worst sermon I've ever heard. That's the worst funeral I've ever been into. No word of hope. No word of comfort for the family of Joe. Patsy looked at her husband and she said, I agree. And you know what the worst thing of all is? Everything he said is absolutely true. Joe is dead. But God has today for us. We who wait. Advent, waiting for the one who came, the one who continues to come, and the one who promises to come again. And he is faithful. He's the Word of God, and he keeps the Word, his Word, always. When Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome, he's telling them, you know what time it is. You know. Janet and I were talking about this last week, that the clock was all messed up last week. It must have had a bad battery in it. It was running slow. Well, it's a good thing I noticed when I came in, because otherwise, about this time of the service, it was only 10 after, and I thought, man, I've got lots of time. I would have had everybody here for 2 hours. It's a good thing we've got some backup watches, right? Because the time doesn't always run like we think it should. We think we've always got tomorrow, but maybe not in this world, in this life. So Paul says to the church, the Christians in Rome, he says, you know what time it is. You know that the night is far gone. You know that the day is at hand. Get out of bed, sleepyhead. You're burning sunshine, sleepyhead, right? You know what time it is. Get ready. Get set. Don't hit the snooze alarm. Don't roll over and pull the covers over your head. Don't say to yourself, I just want another 10 minutes or so. It's going to mess up your REM cycle. That's what all the experts say. You're just messing with your sleep pattern. Get up. Get dressed, get going with the glory of God. Into the day, into the opportunities that God has given you. You know what time it is. Rise, O sleeper. The day is at hand. Put on the armor of light. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Be the salt that you are. Be the city that you are. Be who you are as a redeemed child of God, walking in the light. Jesus is the light. And we are called to bring that light to the world as we wait. Because waiting is not passive. Waiting is active. What do you owe? What's the size of your debt? Paul says to the Christians in Rome, you know what your debt is. You know. You don't owe anyone anything except love. That's your debt. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in Jesus should not perish, but have eternal life. You know what time it is. Paul says salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. That means Jesus is closing in. I love that. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Jesus is closing in. Don't be alarmed. He's dressed you in one of his sleepers, that robe of righteousness. He's holding you in his arms. You're not going to miss his coming. Get ready. Get set. And wait. Wait in the goodness of God. Wait in the glory of God. Wait with repentant hearts. Wait with confidence and assurance that he will never, ever forsake you. What do you owe? You owe a debt of love. A debt of love. When we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, then Paul says, love is going to fulfill the law. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. You won't have any love of or desire for coveting or killing or sexual immorality or jealousy or strife or bickering or drunkenness. All of that stuff, those works of the flesh and darkness, those have all been put away in Christ because you are a child of the light. Walk in the armor of the light that God has given you. Get out of bed, sleepyhead. My daughter Rachel, the youngest one, she was a night owl. When everybody else on New Year's Eve said, it's 9:30, I don't think I'm going to make it till midnight. You know who I'm talking about. Julie didn't like this midnight stuff. This is crazy. And maybe Jenna and my son Josh, they might make it to 10 or 10:30 or 11. But it was always Rachel. She and I stayed up till midnight so we could say Happy New Year and then we could go to bed. We'd watch Nickelodeon and stuff like that on TV. She was a night owl. But you know what she wasn't? Oh man, she was not a morning person. In fact, she was not fun to be around in the morning. You know what I'm talking about, people that are night owls, but they're not morning people. I remember distinctly when she was in middle school, high school, one morning saying to my wife, when I got out of the shower and stuff, I said, where's Rachel? She said, she's still in bed. I said, she's gonna miss school. She's going to be late for school. She said, I've already tried to wake her up. I've already told her three times. She's going to have to learn the hard way. I went in there. I flipped that light switch on, you know, that big bright light. And then I pulled those covers and ripped them back, and I said, get out of bed now. You're not going to be late for school on my watch. Right? Get up. Get dressed. You're going to school. You got work to do. How do we wait? As we wait in this season of Advent, do we just snuggle in the sheets, messing up our REM cycles, pulling that pillow over our heads and saying, I don't want to get up? My granddaughter, Nora, she surprised her mom and dad recently, and she told me all about it. She said, you know what I did today, Baba? She usually has to have somebody get her up. She's only 5 and a half, for crying out loud. But you know what she did? She got up. She got dressed. She came out and she said, look, Mom, I got up and I got dressed. That's an important thing when you're little. And quite frankly, that's an important thing as we get older too. To get up. And to get dressed. Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come, and you've been left behind. That Baptist preacher would have probably liked that song. In our gospel reading for tonight, it's the fifth and final discourse teaching section in the Gospel of Matthew. The first one is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The second teaching discourse is in Matthew chapter 10 on mission. The third one is Matthew 13, the parables of the kingdom of heaven. The fourth teaching section is in Matthew 18, reconciliation and forgiveness. And then the fifth and final discourse teaching section is Matthew 24 and 25, the end times. When's it going to be? What are going to be the signs of it? Jesus says, well, just look at the fig tree. From the fig tree, learn the lesson. Jesus says to his disciples, you want to know when? I don't know. Don't you love that? I don't know. The Father and I are one, but Jesus says, I don't know. The angels don't know. Only the Father knows. And you can sit and spend all your time waiting and speculating and calculating and trying to determine when's it going to be. Or you can wait and not be alarmed because you've been dressed in the righteousness of Jesus. Because God has gotten you up and gotten you dressed. And everyone knows that when Paul talks about putting off and putting on and getting up and getting dressed and being clothed, he's talking about baptism. That's what the New Testament is telling us, that in baptism, in this daily dying and rising with Jesus, God is practicing the resurrection in us, getting us up and dressing us in his holiness, getting you and me ready for that day when Christ will come again. The one who is the faithful witness, the one who's the ruler of the kings of the earth, the one who's the firstborn of the dead, the one who will not fail you. He's always faithful. That's how we wait, with assurance and confidence. And by the grace of God, without regret. A story. You know the name Thomas Carlyle? Thomas Carlyle was a Scottish historian and essayist. That means he loved to write and he wrote well. He had a secretary named Jane Welsh, whom he married. And she continued to be his secretary. Thomas Carlyle loved to work, and he got really preoccupied with work, so much so that he didn't notice that shortly after they were married, his wife's health began to deteriorate. And then she was diagnosed with cancer. And after a few years, Thomas's wife Jane passed away. It was a rainy day. It was a muddy day as they carried the casket out to the graveyard and as they buried Thomas's beloved wife. Mud everywhere, rain everywhere. And after the funeral, he came in, cleaned himself up, and he went into the bedroom of his wife. He sat in the chair next to her bed, and on the nightstand, there was Jane's diary. And so he opened his wife's diary, And then one page, only one sentence. He came and sat with me for an hour today. It was like heaven itself. I love him so much. He turned a couple more pages, and there was an entry that read, "I've waited all day. I thought I heard his footsteps in the hall. It's late. I guess he's not coming today." He turned the pages and read some more, and he broke down and sobbed. He went out into the church cemetery, caked in mud, weeping beside the grave plot of his wife. "If only I knew. If only I had known. If only I knew, if only I had known how much my wife suffered and how much she loved me." After Thomas's wife died, he wrote little, if anything. Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Another story. Jan and her sister Anne. Anne was with her brother-in-law. Her brother-in-law opened the bottom drawer of Anne's dresser, and he pulled out a package. It was carefully wrapped. Anne looked at it and said, "It's a slip." Her brother-in-law corrected her and said, "No, it's lingerie." The price tag was still on it, indicating how expensive it was. Fine silk with fancy lace around it. Jan's husband said she bought it about 8 or 9 years ago when we were out in New York, first time we went to the big city. She said she was saving it for a special day. And so he took the slip, the lingerie, and handed it to Anne, and she placed it on the bed with the other items for the funeral director. And then Jan's husband shut the bottom dresser drawer, and he looked at his sister-in-law and he said, "Don't ever save it for a special day. Every day that you are alive is a special day from God." Don't wait with regrets. Redeem the time. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Don't you see? Jesus is closing in. And he's the good shepherd. And he's not going to let anyone snatch you out of his hands. That's how we wait. We wait with confidence, not with fear, not with speculating or calculating, but with blessed endurance. Blessed to be a blessing while we wait. People of God, with Advent hope. A friend of mine is a pastor in Spokane, Washington. Has a little daughter, 5 years old. He said to me, "David, I want to tell you what happened." I can relate because I tell him about my Nora, who's 5 and a half. So, quid pro quo, right? In other words, I tell him my story, so he tells me his. He said, I was working on my Sunday sermon, and my little daughter Sarah came in. And Sarah looked up at me with those big saucer eyes. And she said, Daddy, let's play, okay? And he said, well, I'm just about done with my sermon. How about another hour? You come back in an hour, and then we'll play. And Sarah said, okay. And when I come back, I'm going to give you a big hug. Sarah started walking toward the door. And then she did this quick U-turn. And she came racing back at her dad, and she grabbed him. And she gave him one of those, like, chiropractic back-breaking hugs. This little 5-year-old Sarah. This pastor friend of mine looked at his daughter and he said, Sarah, I thought you said you were going to give me a big hug when you came back in an hour after I finished my sermon. And you know what Sarah said? Daddy, I just wanted you to have a little taste of what's waiting for you in an hour when I come back. What's waiting for you when I come back? A little foretaste, a little bread, a little wine, a promise that in Jesus Christ all of your sins are forgiven, that in Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, the one who came and promises to come again, has got a beautiful sleeper, and he's wrapped you in it, the grace of Almighty God, and he's going to hold you. So get up, get dressed, and go with the glory of God and the goodness of Christ as you serve your neighbors in these holy days of Advent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.